You know, if you think back to the golden age of traditional advertising, the strategy was, well, it was aggressively simple.
Oh, for sure. Aggressively simple is the perfect way to put it.
Right, you'd be driving down the highway or, you know, watching TV, and suddenly, bam, a massive billboard or a loud commercial just demanding that you buy something right now.
Yeah, and the entire model relied on that interruption. I mean, the brand's only job was to hijack your attention from whatever you were actually trying to do and just, be as loud as possible for 30 seconds.
Exactly. It was essentially a guy kicking down your front door with a bullhorn to yell about a mattress sale.
Which is crazy to think about now. Because if you try kicking down a digital door with a bullhorn today, you aren't just ignored, you're actively blocked.
You really are. And that is exactly what we are getting into today. We are taking a deep dive into a localized playbook from an agency called The Social Studio to figure out how businesses are ditching that bullhorn and how they're quietly winning the modern digital algorithm instead.
Yeah, and specifically, we're looking at an internal blueprint they built for a shopping and lifestyle destination called the Crossroads Carmel.
So, for you listening, whether you are a continuous learner just trying to figure out why your feed looks the way it does, or you run a local boutique, this is a masterclass in how consumer behavior has fundamentally shifted. Okay, let's unpack this, because to understand the tactics, we really have to grasp the sheer cognitive load of the modern consumer.
Oh, absolutely. The baseline numbers in this presentation, they reframe the entire landscape. We are looking at 217 million U.S. adults actively using social media.
217 million, that's wild.
It is, but it's the duration that actually matters here. The average time spent daily on these platforms is 2 hours and 16 minutes.
Wow, over 2 hours.
Right. We aren't talking about brief, intentional visits. That is a state of continuous, partial attention.
And, 2 hours and 16 minutes of scrolling means consumers are developing massive ad fatigue. I mean, they can smell a desperate sales pitch a mile away.
Oh, totally. Within a fraction of a second.
Which is why the Social Studio lays out this new fundamental mandate. They say, stop interrupting, start inspiring.
It sounds like a great motivational poster, honestly.
It really does. But there is hard data backing it up. The presentation notes that 74% of consumers rely on social media to inform their purchase decisions.
What's fascinating here is how that 74% metric forces a complete restructuring of the traditional sales funnel. I mean, when three-quarters of your audience is using their feed to figure out what they want, inspiration is no longer a soft metric.
Right, it's not just a buzzword anymore.
Exactly. It is the absolute top of the funnel. It's like you're hosting a party, and you have to create an environment people actually want to linger in. And the presentation breaks this down into five required characteristics.
Okay, let's hear them.
The content has to be visually appealing, original, positive, relevant, and actionable.
Wait, let's dig into the psychology of those five, because they aren't arbitrary. Like, visually appealing isn't just about posting high-resolution photos, right?
No, not at all. It's about fueling the user's imagination so they can project themselves into that specific lifestyle.
Yeah, and then original directly combats that ad fatigue we just mentioned. If a post looks like a stock template, the brain just, well, it filters it out instantly.
The psychological mechanism behind positive and relevant is equally crucial, too. Modern feeds are, let's face it, heavily weighted toward doom scrolling and outrage.
Oh, for sure. It can be exhausting.
Right. So when a brand embodies inherent positivity, it offers a cognitive escape. It becomes a safe harbor for the user.
And then relevant grounds that escape, right? Because it offers ideas that are actually within reach for the consumer. It bridges the gap between aspiration and reality.
Exactly. And then there's actionable, because you can build the most beautiful positive escape on the internet. But if the user has to hunt for a link or figure out your operating hours, they will just keep scrolling.
They really will. Actionable means stripping away every single piece of friction between the moment of inspiration and the decision to actually engage.
Which brings us to the operational reality of building that space. The presentation relies heavily on the concept of organic social management. But, and this is key, we need to look at what they explicitly warn businesses not to do.
Right, the pitfalls.
Yeah. They state unequivocally that your organic feed is not a sales machine. It is not a product display. And most importantly, it is not a megaphone.
That megaphone point is so critical because if a brand is posting content but ignoring the comments and direct messages, they are literally just shouting into the void.
It's the digital equivalent of that guy with the bullhorn.
Exactly. But let me challenge the ROI timeline here for a second. If a local business where every hour of labor has a hard cost knows organic social isn't a direct sales machine, why pour resources into something that only yields a slow burn of relationships?
It's a great question. And the answer lies in the concept of the living storefront window. The user journey has fundamentally changed.
How so?
Well, a consumer might see a piece of your content weeks or even months before they actually decide to visit your physical location. Your organic presence is what they are quietly evaluating during that entire incubation period.
Oh, I see. It's like tending a community garden. You can't harvest the crops on day one, but if you don't water it, your neighbors will just stop walking past it entirely.
That's a perfect analogy. Furthermore, if we connect this to the bigger picture, we are looking at the evolution of UGC 2.0.
And let's clarify what UGC 2.0 actually looks like in practice. Because user-generated content used to just mean reposting a blurry photo a customer took of their coffee cup.
Yeah, exactly. UGC 1.0 was basically just outsourcing your photography. UGC 2.0 is about active community signaling. It's the saves, the shares, the nuanced conversations happening in the comments section of your posts.
And that engagement matters because of the algorithm.
Precisely. That organic engagement is what trains the platform's algorithm.
Yeah.
It provides the pixel with the crucial data signals it needs to understand exactly who your target demographic is.
So without that organic baseline, any paid ad strategy you launch is flying completely blind.
You'd just be throwing money away.
You're essentially using organic content to train the algorithm for free, mapping the DNA of your ideal customer. But all of that organic ecosystem building hits a wall if the underlying discovery engine, you know, how people actually find you in the first place, has changed.
And this presentation highlights a massive behavioral shift there.
Right. Gen Z and millennials are abandoning traditional text-based Google searches entirely. They scroll to search.
A cognitive shift there is profound. When a younger consumer searches for a coffee shop or a boutique, they don't want a list of blue hyperlinks in a text-heavy website anymore.
No, they want immediate spatial and visual context. They want to see the lighting, the seating, the vibe, the actual products, and like a 3-second visual scan.
That's exactly why platform search results within Instagram and TikTok have essentially cannibalized traditional discovery.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because Google saw this happening and they adjusted their own behavior. Since mid-2025, Google indexes Instagram posts directly into its own search results.
Which completely rewrites the playbook.
It does. We are so used to thinking of SEO as this technical metadata hidden deep in a website's architecture. But suddenly, the raw text of an Instagram caption holds the exact same search weight.
It fundamentally changes the daily workflow of a business owner. The words you type into a caption are actively pulling in local foot traffic and tourists simultaneously.
Do they give a specific example of that in the presentation?
They do. They give a great localized example for the Crossroads Carmel. Before this indexing shift, a search for Fresh Flowers Carmel would only populate traditional .com links.
Right, the usual website listings.
Exactly. But today, a business like Burst and Bloom, using a caption that reads, you know, fresh spring bouquets at Burst and Bloom, is the perfect gift for Mother's Day. That turns that specific post into a highly targeted search magnet on Google.
Wow. It's like taking the index cards out of a library's card catalog and taping them directly onto the front door of your shop on Main Street. Google isn't forcing users to walk into the Instagram app to search anymore.
No, it's pulling those captions right out onto the main highway of the internet.
Which means businesses that post a stunning photo of their storefront but leave the caption as a single sunglasses emoji, they are completely invisible to the algorithm.
They are opting out of the modern search ecosystem entirely. And you have to tailor that searchable text to how different platforms function too.
Like Instagram versus TikTok.
Exactly. Instagram is built for visual discovery, so it remains the dominant engine for local boutiques, home goods, and aesthetics.
And TikTok.
TikTok operates on a much broader reach model. It makes it highly effective for food and beverage engagement, pulling in younger demographics through pure algorithmic discovery rather than targeted social graphs.
Okay, so to prevent businesses from staring at a blank screen, wondering how to write these searchable captions, the Social Studio provides a framework, the four content pillars: show, tell, teach, and invite.
And the psychology behind these four is what actually drives the conversion. Show is the visual proof. It's the plated dishes or the new arrivals.
Because it answers the consumer's subconscious question of, why should I choose you over the place down the street?
Exactly. Then you have tell. which is about the story, the founders, the history of the space.
The mechanism there is the parasocial relationship, right? Consumers want to know there is a beating heart behind the transaction. Humanizing the brand removes that corporate sterility that modern consumers actively distrust.
That is spot on.
Then the third pillar, teach, is where I think you see the most leverage. Sharing a wine pairing, a styling tip, a skincare routine.
Yeah, because when you give away your specialized expertise for free, you trigger the cognitive bias of reciprocity. The consumer gains value without being charged, which builds an immense reservoir of trust.
So when they finally do need that specific service, they feel a subconscious obligation to bring their business to the established authority, which is you.
Exactly. And that leads perfectly to the final pillar, invite.
The withdrawal from the trust account.
Yes. This encompasses the trunk shows, the special offers, the class signups, and the presentation is very strict about this. Invite is the only pillar where a brand is allowed to ask for something.
Right, because the first three pillars are entirely about depositing value into the consumer's account.
If a local business turns their entire feed into the invite pillar, just constantly asking for the sale, they bankrupt that trust account immediately.
So, knowing the cognitive mechanics of these four pillars, how does this actually look on the ground at a place like the Crossroads Carmel? Because the playbook gets highly specific about local amplification, starting right with the tell pillar, featuring real people.
Yeah, the data they pull shows that posts featuring actual staff members, the owners, or candid in-store moments consistently outperform polished product-only photography.
It reinforces that human connection.
It does. They also leverage hyper-specific geographic tags. Tagging Carmel isn't just a nod to the community, it's a structural net designed to intercept the massive volume of tourist traffic driving down Highway 1.
Because those tourists are actively searching their phones for immediate local recommendations, and those geotags inject the businesses straight into their feeds.
Exactly. They also utilize contextual relevance by piggybacking on local events, like Poodle Day or the Carmel Art Festival.
But the most technical algorithm-manipulating tactic they reveal is their rule on reply culture. The presentation notes that tenants who reply to comments and direct messages within 24 hours see a measurable spike in the reach of their subsequent posts.
The platforms are ultimately retention engines. You know, their primary goal is to keep users from closing the app.
Right.
When a brand replies quickly, the algorithm identifies that account as an active node of engagement. It essentially scores the account higher, rewarding it by distributing its future content to a wider audience.
Because it knows that account will reliably keep users talking and scrolling. But let me challenge the threshold of what the algorithm actually considers an active node. Does the system recognize a generic thanks emoji as real engagement, or does a business owner need to write out substantive text to actually trigger that algorithmic boost?
That is the critical nuance. The algorithm has evolved way past basic bot-like recognition. While an emoji is better than silence, the system analyzes dwell time and conversational depth.
Oh, wow. So it actually reads to it.
Yeah. Substantive text that prompts a secondary response from the user asking them a follow-up question, for example, that resets the decay rate of the post.
So every time a user comes back to read a real reply, the platform registers high-value retention, which maximizes the boost for your next piece of content.
Precisely.
So what does this all mean when it comes to spending money? You've nurtured this ecosystem, your captions are heavily indexed for search, you are building reciprocity by teaching, you are resetting the decay rate by actively conversing.
Yeah.
When do you actually open the wallet and pay for advertising?
Because the social studio has a very strict mandate here. Boost what's working.
Okay, so no guessing.
Right. This represents the shift from organic community building to strategic paid amplification. Their golden rule is that you never guess with paid media.
Which is such a departure from traditional advertising. You used to have to spend thousands of dollars to produce a glossy campaign, only to launch it and pray the market actually cared.
In the modern ecosystem, you let your organic feed act as the testing ground.
So what does this all mean in terms of budget allocation?
The presentation gives a great scenario. A business posts a reel that organically hits 2,000 views. Instead of filming a brand new commercial, they take that exact validated reel and put a micro budget of $20 to $50 behind it for a few days.
And the algorithm, which already knows people like the video, seamlessly pushes it to 10,000 views.
The math behind that strategy is incredibly efficient. Because the organic velocity of the post was already high, the algorithm prices the distribution cheaper. Your cost per click plummets.
That is brilliant.
They give another example of the brand, Taste Morgan, spending just $100 over a single week to promote a wine release event.
This raises an important question, then, about scale. You aren't using paid media to force mediocre content onto an unwilling audience. You are using paid media to scale content that has already proven its psychological resonance.
Exactly.
It's exactly like hosting that party we talked about earlier. You notice everyone is clustered in the kitchen, absolutely devouring a specific appetizer. Instead of stopping the music to force everyone to try a brand new, untested dish, you just walk out with a massive tray of the exact appetizer they are already fighting over.
It is a guaranteed low-friction win.
Organic social tells you what the winning appetizer is, and paid social is the giant tray.
That synthesis captures the entire methodology perfectly. None of these components function in isolation. The visually appealing lifestyle content requires the SEO-optimized caption just to be discovered.
Right, and the caption relies on organic reply culture to signal the algorithm that the account is active.
And then the paid amplification relies completely on the organic profile to provide the underlying trust that ultimately converts the viewer into a customer.
When you look at the architecture of this playbook, it completely demystifies why some brands feel magnetic online while others just feel desperate. Whether you are running a local coffee shop right off the highway or managing a global retail brand, the mechanism is the exact same. The bullhorn is dead. You cannot interrupt your way into a modern consumer's wallet. You have to earn your place in their feed through continuous, hyper-relevant inspiration.
And as we close this analysis, there's a final structural implication to consider here.
Oh, what's that?
If organic social truly operates as your living storefront window, and platforms like Google are actively indexing social captions directly into their primary search results,
Well,
we have to question the lifespan of the traditional static company website.
Oh, wow. That is a massive thought.
As younger demographics prioritize dynamic visual discovery, will future consumers completely bypass the dot-com architecture altogether? Will the ultimate proof of a business's legitimacy simply be a social feed that proves they are active, authentic, and responding to their community today?
It fundamentally threatens the old internet infrastructure. So for you listening, until we see how that plays out, put down the bullhorn, optimize those captions, and start tending your digital garden. Thanks for diving deep with us today.